Amen. Thank God he receives beggars. Amen. Turn your Bible, please, to the book of Daniel. Daniel and chapter number 11. Daniel chapter 11. Thank you for being here today. You know, the Bible said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And how exciting it is to me as pastor when we see people get so involved in ministry. And our ministry begins right here inside this building and among your family and my family and then our neighbors and our schoolmates and our workmates and then out through our county and our state and around the world. And people involved in so many different kinds of ministries. I thank the Lord. Ms. Brenda is involved in a lot of different type of ministries, helping with the Baptist men. And then Jamie and Kelly, that's an awesome ministry. And going again in October, if you have an opportunity, maybe you'd want to go or either make some contributions. I noticed all the glasses that were there. I don't know if they're prescription glasses or reading glasses, but many of you have extra glasses around. But anything, you can be a part of that. And certainly the Christmas child ministry, the Christmas boxes. And go ahead and get some boxes to help you be reminded of that. Bring supplies, put back there. Also, if you want to start designating gifts already and you make it to the church and for Christmas box postage, Miss Trudy will keep all that separate for us and it'll all be included in the last check we send. But go ahead now and start getting the boxes together. And the impact. I was so impressed with that young man singing, Jesus Loves Me. I love that. He knew him. You could tell he knew him. He was not just singing little lyrics. He was singing about somebody he knew. He loved him. And what a blessing that is. And then the pencil, you know, so excited about getting a pencil. Our kids want a G5, a Samsung or Apple or whatever, you know. But they get a pencil and they're excited about it. And just little things that you can touch lives with for Christ. Now, you have your Bibles open to the book of Daniel this morning. Again, I apologize. I have a little bit of raspiness in my voice. And I want you to pray that God will help me as I share with you these next few moments. And our time is a little limited this morning for radio or internet. But then for you here, I know you don't want to stay too long today. But please listen. I have something in my heart I want to share with you. Notice in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 11. In these prophecies that Daniel's given about the immediate things that were going on, he himself had been a captive from the 70-year captivity, and he is trying to explain what Jeremiah had prophesied about the 70-year captivity, and then he's talking about the rise of Antichrist and all those things. So many awesome truths in here, but just sometime you're reading something, just a little nugget to jump out at you, and I want you to look this morning, chapter 11, look at verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. He's talking about people who will be deceived and who will suffer ruin, but those who know their God shall be strong and do exploit. In the darkest days, what will sustain you is knowing the Lord. Those that know the Lord. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would help me. I pray, God, for your anointing. And God, I believe you've laid something on my heart. And I pray, God, you lay it upon the hearts of your people here this morning, the vast radio and internet audience. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would help me. God, you speak, and God, you do the work. Our Father, I bow before you and acknowledge there's no good thing in me. But God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God will do that's necessary this morning to touch lives for Jesus. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The prophet here says there's something strengthening about knowing the Lord, about knowing God. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on knowing the Lord or knowing Jesus. If this is not a trick question, how many of you know President Joe Biden? Would you raise your hand? I'm not saying you voted for him, not saying you, but you do pray for him or whatever. But if you know President Joe Biden, would you raise your hand? It's not a trick question. Would you raise your hand? Thank you so much. Most everybody in the sound of my voice who lives in America, who's ever watched TV and you've been in conscious for the last few weeks or months, you know President Joe Biden. He's the President of the United States of America, and we highly respect that office. We know President Joe Biden. But let me turn the question around and ask you this. How many of you who are husbands know your wife? How many of you who are married, wives, you know your husband? You would quickly acknowledge to me that your knowledge of Joe Biden and the knowledge of your husband or wife or your mom or dad is vastly different in this context and the meaning of it. And so I want to talk to you about knowing the Lord, because a lot of people know God. We were studying in the adult class this week about Pharaoh and about when God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel. He said, "Who is the Lord God of Israel that I should obey him?" But he found out who he was, and later in context, they acknowledged that the Lord was with Israel. They knew God was with them. And so they knew something about the God of Israel. In the book of Ezekiel, 44 times, he says that God's going to send judgment, and he's going to do great exploits in the world. He's going to bring havoc and destruction on those who have rejected truth and rejected God. And 44 times this little phrase is found in the book of Ezekiel, "And they shall know that I am the Lord." The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so there is a knowing of God that's not the same type of knowing as is here mentioned. I want you to notice the nature of this knowing, because I'm convinced that a lot of people in this building know God. A lot of people in the internet know God, but you do not know him in the sense of this verse. "They that know their God shall be strong." They're going to be strong. Those who know the Lord. And if there's ever been a time in history when God's people needed to be strong, it's right now. And what brings that strength? It is a knowledge of God. But it's more than just a gathering of facts. It's more than just knowing in general terms. In the first place, this is a personal knowledge. Their God. This knowledge that I'm talking about and that the prophet's talking about is one that comes by revelation and by relationship. None of us who are saved would know God in the sense of salvation were it not for the work of the Holy Spirit of God. "There's none that seeketh after God," the Bible says. "There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth." We're dead in trespasses and sin. No way you could ever know God apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God and his revelation of himself to us through the scriptures and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. God revealed himself to us. God showed us himself. But that knowledge is enhanced and grows by relationship. And so in the nature of this knowledge, it is this type of knowledge that comes not just in head, but in heart. It's not through labor of study, but it's by love extended and expressed. It is this matter of not exploring or digging out truth, but by experiencing truth. You must be born again. You've got to have an experience with God. In that passage we read during the time of Moses and delivering the children of out, there's one little statement that just burns in my heart every time I read it. And we read it the other night in class. I think one of the readers read it, where he said, "You tell him, God hath met with us." Boy, if you could just say that, when you go to the house of God, or you're by yourself in the car, or you're at home, or you're out in the woods somewhere, and God makes himself real to you, and you could say, "God hath met with us," what a difference that experience makes. And so this knowing of God is not knowing him in your head, but knowing him in your heart. It's a matter of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Oh, turn over in your Bible, please, to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter 1. And listen to what Paul says in verse 12. He said, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul knows the Lord. Now, Paul, before his conversion, was a ruler of the Jews. I believe he's a member of the Sanhedrin. I believe he had memorized the Word of God, the first five books, the Pentateuch. I believe he could quote the first five books of the Old Testament. He knew the Bible. And a lot of people know the Bible, and they know about God, but they don't know God. I'm talking about knowing the Lord. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." And that makes that relationship more real. It's when you come into that relationship with him. In John 10, verse 14, our Lord is talking about his relationship with his people, and he compares it to a shepherd and a sheep. And he makes this statement, "I know my sheep and am known of mine." Notice that possessive pronoun, mine. They have become his. He is their shepherd, but they are his sheep. And he said, "I know them, but they know me." You have to know him as Savior before you can know anything else about any of his great attributes or anything about his omniscience, his all-knowing, or his omnipotence, his power. You have to first know him as your Savior. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then everything else falls in line. You have to know him as Savior. And to know him as Savior, you have to see yourself lost. Nobody ever gets saved that needs saving. Nobody ever is found that's not lost. And when you realize that you're lost, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God is to show you your lostness. He came to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And when you realize that you're lost, the Holy Spirit of God shows you your lostness, shows you that there's no good thing in you, shows you your ultimate doom. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God in a place called hell. He shows you all of that. But then he shows you the wonderful Savior who loved you, bore all of his sins in his own body on the tree, and you believe that. You believe that God so loved the world, but you believe that God loved me. God knew me. God bore my sin. He died for me. And he makes you understand that, believe that. It's not a head thing, but it gets in your heart. You understand your lostness, and then you'll understand how much he loved you and that he suffered and bled and died for you. And then you believe that he's paid your sin debt. And then that you believe, he that believeth on him, you believe in your heart, confess with the mouth, "The Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved." And you believe on him. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." That's relationship. He knows him because he's believed on him. He knows because he's been born again by the grace of God. He knows what salvation's all about. He knows what it means to be forgiven of all your sin and become a child of God. He knew what it was like. That's why he could explain about when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes in your heart and he cries, "Abba, Father." And so it's a revelation, but then it is a relationship. You come to know him. You know him as your Savior, but then you also know him as your shepherd. In this passage of Scripture. As a Savior, he saves you, forgives all of your sin. You become part of the family of God. You become a child of God. But then as a shepherd, he guides and provides for you the rest of your life. And thank God for that. Now, what does it mean to come to know the Lord? It means that you come to know him as salvation. People ask sometimes, "Do you know the Lord?" That doesn't mean, do you know him as Creator? As you know him as a miracle worker in the Bible? You know him in all those things. But do you know him in a relationship? Have you ever come to the place where he becomes your God? He was their God, personal. Have you ever trusted Christ? Have you ever repented of your sin? Have you ever experienced a difference in your life? You pass from death to life, from darkness to light, from the bondage of sin to the blessing of salvation, from the darkness and doom of hell, but to your citizenship being made in heaven. Do you know that? Do you know that you've been saved by the grace of God? In chapter 5 of the book of 1 John, Let me see if I can turn over there quickly and read this to you. He makes this wonderful statement in chapter 5 of 1 John. And listen to what it says. These things have I written in you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He said, you can know that. And you do know that. If you've been born again by the grace of God, there's the witness of the Spirit inside of you. My dear friend, do you know Him as Savior? Do you know Him as Shepherd, knowing the Lord? Do you know Him as the Lord? Oh, listen, you can know Him in that way. You can know Him as your Savior. You can know Him as the Lord. And nothing else will fall in line until you know Him. That's the beginning place, to be born again by the grace of God, to know Him in relationship, to know that He's your Savior and He's your Lord and that He's forgiven you of all your sin. I'm going to just read another verse. I believe God would have us to come to this point. Notice, if you will, please, in your Bible, in the book of Philippians, Paul, who wrote 13 books of this Bible, says this about his relationship with the Lord. You know Him as Savior. You've been born again by the grace of God. But then you grow in the Lord. And Paul said in the book of Philippians in chapter number 3, and listen to what he said in this passage of Scripture. Look down, if you will, please, at verse number 8. He said this, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung that I may win Christ. Skip down to verse 10. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, and be made conformable unto His death. Paul said, I know Him in salvation. I know whom I have believed. But now I want to know Him in relationship in my daily life. I want to get to know Him every day. You say, well, I know Him. I met Him. No, every day of your life, the Holy Ghost of God will show you something more fully or deeper about the Lord Jesus Christ. He should be our focus. He should be our attention. He should be the subject of our speech. You know what Paul said to one of the churches that he ministered to in Corinth? He said, I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I have determined that all I want to know is Christ. I want to know Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know Him. Paul said, I want to know Him. And so your pursuit of knowledge should be your pursuit of knowing the Lord. You want to know Him. And how do you know Him? First of all, you got to have that relationship. He's got to be your God. Know Him in salvation. Know Him as your shepherd. And then through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, your subject ought to be Him. Somebody's made this statement, making much of Jesus. When I was pastoring down in Pensacola, Florida, I had some guys in there who, were good students of the Word of God. And many of them had been under the ministry of a man by the name of Peter Ruckman. If you don't know him, that might be a blessing. But Dr. Peter Ruckman, he's in heaven now, but he was a great preacher. My friend Avery Rogers used to say he had a 16-cylinder mind. He was a German. But he was very strong on the King James Bible and the fact that this is the authorized Word of God. And then he was very strong on prophecy. And this guy came to me one day and he said, Brother Bill, I've been listening to you since you've been our pastor. And I've been under Dr. Ruckman and a bunch of others and this. And he said, it seems to me like most preachers have a thing. I said, what do you mean have a thing? He said, well, Dr. Ruckman's is the King James Bible prophecy. And so-and-so, their thing is this, that, or the other. That's what they preached. Regardless of what they preached, they always ended up back on this one little thing. They had their own little hobby horse, you know. And he said, you know what I've decided about you? I said, what? He said, your thing is Jesus and salvation. I said, well, I can live with that. If people could look at me and say, he's all about Jesus, he's all about people getting saved, that's where I'd rather be than anywhere in the world. The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. My dear friend, the whole thing is about Him. Setting your affection on Him, loving Him, seeking Him, knowing Him. And the Bible said, those who know Him, those that know their God, and Jesus Christ is God in human form in the earth, those who know the Lord shall be strong. You want to be strong in the Lord? Well, you've got to focus on Him. Dr. Billy Connolly said one time, if you focus on the Father, His sovereignty, that He rules everything in His judgment, you'll become a fatalist. There are some groups, some churches that have as their whole denomination the fact that He's sovereign. He's got everything planned out. And I believe that. I believe He's sovereign. But He said, if you just focus on His sovereignty and on the Father's being sovereign, He said, if you get like that, He said, you'll become a fatalist. There's no need to do this, no need to do that. But then He said, if you focus on the Holy Spirit of God and you talk about Him and talk about His miracles and His gifts and all those things, and you just get fascinated with the Holy Spirit of God, He said, you can become a fanatic. So you have the two extremes. One group who are just starched and dry and dead, and God's got everything under control and all this, that, and the other. And here's the other group over here that just talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit all the time, and they become fanatical. But He said, if you'll focus on Jesus, you'll not be fanatical, you'll not be a fatalist, but you will be fruitful. He's the one that makes the difference. Preach Christ and Him crucified. Love the Lord. And listen, our heart and our mind ought to always be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. But He said, for those who know the Lord, those who know their God, they shall be strong. They shall be strong. I'm going to give you four areas. I'm through, but listen quickly. Four areas, if you know Him, you'll be strong in. Number one, if you know Him, if you focus on Him, if you spend your time in the Word of God looking for Jesus, He said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of Me. The letter of the law killeth, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And He said, you find Me in that book. I'm all through the Old Testament. He's all through the New Testament. Search in there. They are they which testify of Me. If you'll focus on Jesus, what He's done for us in the past, what He's doing for us now, what He's going to do for us in the future, He said, you do that and you'll be strong. How will you be strong? Number one, you'll be strong in your faith. You'll be strong in your faith. When you seek the Word of God always teaches and does teach that those who are believers are enlightened. They receive revelation. They receive truth from the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God teaches us, guides us into all truth. And Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so the more you study, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, your faith will grow. When you know more about Him and you know all, you have your affection set on Him, you'll grow in faith. You'll be people of faith. Believe in God. But then also, if you focus on Him, He says over in the book of 1 Peter that you ought to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. And so not only will you grow and be strong in your faith, but you'll be strong in your love. You see, knowledge without grace, knowledge without love, knowledge without the presence of the Holy Ghost of God to tend to your heart, to love the Word of God and love people and have a desire for the people to know the Word of God so they can be saved, you miss something. But if you focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and know about Him, He will fill you with His love. The Holy Spirit of God has shed abroad in our heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit of God. When you focus on the Lord, when you study Him, oh, it will strengthen your love. You'll love Him. You'll love the lost. You'll love the church. You'll love the Bible. You'll love people. If you know Him, you cannot help but love. He is love, the Bible said. First John has so much emphasis on the love of God. He said, how can you say you love God and you don't love your brother? How can you do that? He said, if you love God, if you set your affection on Him, and if you know the Lord, and the more you know about Him from this book and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, the stronger your love will become. You will become a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. You can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you because you love Him. But then your hope will be strong. You'll not become despairing. You'll not become a fatalist. You'll not think everything's gloom, despair. Most of us think we live in the darkest time of all of history. But I can remember a time when Christians were torched in Nero's garden. He wrapped them up in like a burlap bag and put them on a post and then soaked them in some type of flammant, and then he'd set them on fire and he'd walk down through his garden and there'd be Christians burning in human torches. He released them into the Colosseum and release onto them lions and tigers and watch them as they would disembowel and decapitate and pull the limbs off and crush the bones of Christians. I'd say that's a pretty dark day. We think we're living in the darkest time of all history. And without knowing Him, you'll have no hope. You'll become a people of despondency and despair and gloom and agony on me. But when you know Him and you're close to Him and He reveals His glory and you see that it removes all obstacles in front of you. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The battle is the Lord's. He said, I will build my church. He's not quit. Now, it's dependent on me or you or anybody else. You could say this is a hopeless thing, but it's nothing too hard for God. And you have hope. And if you'll focus on Him and you'll know Him in that way, you'll have hope. I found this little definition of Bible hope. It means not hope with a question mark. It's hope with an exclamation part. It is the anticipation of a joyous confidence of things to come. I have a great anticipation. You know what's going to happen? This thing's coming to an end. But thank God our world's just beginning. Not only that, just quickly, if you focus on Him, if you know Him, if you get to know Him real good from this Bible, your faith will grow and be strong. If you know Christ and you focus on Christ in this book and you know Him, your love will be strong. It's unquenchable love. He doesn't love us sometimes. He loves us all the time. And if you get that love in your heart, it's the love of Christ shed abroad in our heart. You'll love people even when they hate you. Even when they're your enemies, God will help you. It also give you hope. You'll live with expectancy and not despondency. You'll live in delight and not in depression. But it also strengthen you in your patience. That word patience doesn't mean sitting around twiddling your thumbs. Some people say, I don't have any patience. My wife don't think I have any patience. I lose patience with fast food people. It's not fast, and most of the time it's not right either. Patience. That's not what it's talking about. When the Bible talks about the work of the Holy Spirit of God bringing you patience, what does it mean? It means that you can endure the chastening of the Lord and know that He loves you. Sometimes He has to correct me. I don't know about you, but sometimes He has to deal with me in chastening, correction. And if I know Him, I know He's doing it because He loves me. Mama used to say, son, I'm doing this because I love you. But I said, Mama, it still hurts. And it did. But looking back now, I knew what she meant. And if you have that, you can endure the chastening of the Lord and understand that He chastens every son He receiveth, and you love Him because of it. You'll have patience in suffering. You'll not throw aside your faith. You'll not become gloom and despair. You'll not go into a state of depression. In your suffering, you will be comforted by the minister of the Holy Spirit of God, and you can endure that suffering patiently. Not only that, but persecution. You're going to have some persecution from family and friends and church folk and everybody else around you. But if you know Him, you know He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know that He's going to be with you all the time. You can be patient. You can be patient. You can live faithfully. That word patient means to keep on being faithful. In spite of suffering, in spite of chastening, in spite of persecution, you're just going to keep on keeping on for Jesus. You're not going to quit, not going to throw in the towel. You're not going to get bitter. You're not going to get angry. You're not going to retaliate. You're not going to fight back. You're going to just keep on trying to love the Lord and keep on trying to win somebody to Christ and keep on trying to be a blessing to the people of God. In other words, the Bible said, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap. You just keep on keeping on. You don't quit. You don't throw in the towel. Sometimes you get tired. Sometimes you get just wore out, but you don't quit. You just keep on. And that only comes if you know Him in a very real way. But then there's a last growth area that I think is very real in the hour you're living in. you are living in the last days. I believe that with all your heart. And so not only do if you know Him and you'll continue to grow and to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, ever learning about Him, He may be becoming more real to you every day. You'll grow in your faith. You'll grow in your love. You'll grow in your hope. You'll grow in your patience. But you will also grow in your attraction to heaven. The more you know Him, the more you want to go home. The more you know Him. Sometimes in over the years, the grandchildren have stayed with us, and particularly when I'm doing a lot of youth ministry, we have camp. We have junior camp, senior camp, and all down in, when we're down in Florida, old Mount Zion campground, Brother Roy. And I did all the youth work in those days, way back out in the 70s. Invariably, we'd have one or two Christian younger juniors particularly. And we had fun. They did all kind of things. But up in the night, I'd get a word and said, Brother Billy, so-and-so, they're crying. What's wrong with Johnny? He's just missing mama. He's just missing home. And you know, if you grow in your love for the Lord and you know Him, it grows in you and strengthens you in your anticipation of going home. Paul said, I'm in a strait twixt two. I have a desire to depart and to be with the Lord, which is far better. Nevertheless, it's needful that I stay. And the closer you get to Him, the more you know Him, the more you feel that prayer He prayed in John 17 when He said, Father, I pray they might be where I am, that they might behold my glory. And the more you know Him, the more you long to be with Him. My dear friends, can I tell you that the highest and the most noble knowledge is to know your God and to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And for Him to be the subject of your study, for Him to be the subject of your speech, for Him to be the subject of your life, to live Jesus. Paul came to this point when he could say and be absolutely honest, for me to live is Christ. How about you? Do you know Him? Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? This wonderful little verse, I hope you highlight it. Maybe go back and memorize it, at least the latter part of it. The people that do know their God shall be strong. Do you know Him? Are you strong in faith, strong in love, strong in hope, strong in patience, strong in your anticipation of going home to be with the Lord? Do you know Him as Savior? Do you know Him as your shepherd? And do you know Him as your sovereign, the ruler of your life? The first step is to know Him as your Savior. If you were to die right now, do you know you'd go to heaven? These things have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. I'd encourage you this morning, if you don't know the Lord in salvation, that you would turn to Him, turn from your sin and turn to the Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter in 1 Peter emphasizes to us, I didn't turn you there to read it, but chapter 3 and verse 18, I think it is, where he said, grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you doing that? You've experienced Him as Savior, but now are you growing in grace and are you growing in your knowledge of Him? Are you closer to Him now than you were the day you got saved? Is He more real to you now than He was then? Is your faith stronger, your love stronger, your hope stronger, your patience stronger, your anticipation of heaven stronger? Have you got close to Jesus? Do you think about Him often during the day, and is He often the source of songs? You don't have to know a lot of songs. As our brother sang a while ago, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Through the day tomorrow when the battles come and enemy attacks you, could you say in your heart, I know Him, and I know this, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let's stand together. Brad's going to sing a song. I ask him to sing for us. I'll meet you here at the front. If you have a need or burden, we'd be glad to pray with you. If you've been praying about a church home, we invite you to come and unite with us. If you believe what we believe what the Bible teaches, and you know the Lord as Savior, and Lord, we invite you to be a part of our ministry, part of this church. This become your church, your home. If you're not saved, would you like to know Him today? I know there's some good men here who'd pray with you, with the men, ladies who'd pray with the ladies. If you want somebody to pray with you, but I'm going to tell you right now, He knows you. And if you would come to Him and bow before Him, turn from your sin and turn to the Savior, He'd save you this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will do what I cannot do, draw by your grace. I pray your people would be responsive. Our Father, some of us who know you, our Father, have become accustomed. We just kind of got caught in a rut. You're not real to us like you ought to be. Our Father, it's been a long time since we've been excited about being children of God. Lord, help us to love you more now than we ever have. God, give us a greater hope, greater patience, and greater zeal to serve you. Oh, God, give us a fresh touch this morning. Help us to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, I pray that He shall be the theme of our song. Our Father, He'd be the subject of our speech. He'd be the source of our life. God, I pray that Christ would be real in us and that people might see the Lord in us, that they might come to know the Lord.